had a whopping hint to expect three-dimensional invariance.
This is the group action.
No.
Or,
no, that's not just three-dimensional.
Okay.
I had a whopping hint to expect three-dimensional invariance. That there was just hot off the press, the Turay of the Roe paper, the Reshetikin Turay paper, Witten's paper on the Jones polynomial. So three-manifold invariants were there to be found. And there seemed to be a reason that people weren't finding higher dimensional invariants. Now, in fact, the thing that was eventually understood is that using somewhat different ideas, you also get four-manifold invariants. But with quite different algebraic structures than the one leading to three-manifold invariants. I was really caught off guard by this later categorification revolution, because there had been part of the reason was that there had been a wishful stage. There was the notorious case of the Crane-Yetter invariant, which looked like a four-manifold invariant, but as a four-manifold invariant, it doesn't do anything. It's just an invariant of a four-manifold boundary. It's an invariant of a four-manifold boundary, and then it just turns out that it only depends on the boundary. So it looked very exciting. It looked like you get a four-manifold invariant, but then you just sort of slide back to three dimensions. So what's really interesting about both Hovhaannik homology and the Haygarth-Floor homology is that you for a little while do something that looks like the same three-dimensional ideas. There's a radical new ingredient so that you don't slide back, so that you get genuine four-dimensional information. So in that respect, what I was doing was conservative. I was in safe territory. I was finding quantum invariants in the dimension that you'd expect them. Now, in the more specific technical sense, I felt that I had found the reason that three dimensions was special. You can write down these words, these Hopf words for any as an expression for the number of elements in the kth homology with any finite coefficients. So say you're interested in the third cohomology of a 10-dimensional manifold with coefficients in some finite group. Then it has a group algebra, and you can write down a word like this, and then the value of the tensor expression is the number of elements in that cohomology. And it has this funny self-dual property that the
sorry, but you need the group to be abelian.
The group to be abelian. You get this funny property that you get the same answer as itself upside down. It resonates with Poincaré duality and the universal coefficient theorem. Now, if the group is abelian, then the degree k, if the group is non, if the Hopf algebra is non-commutative, then the construction only works if the degree k is 1. Okay? And if the Hopf algebra is non-co-commutative, then the construction only works if k is n minus 2. Now, how do you satisfy both equations if k is both, if the Hopf algebra is neither commutative nor co-commutative? You get k equals 1 and n equals 3. So you get some three-manifold invariants specifically. So I felt that I had derived why exotic invariants exist in three dimensions. And I had. But what I had missed was, A, that there were other sort of similar derivations already. That I didn't mind so much. At least I had a new explanation. But what I really missed was that there really do exist some sort of other invariants with using different ideas in four dimensions. The current belief is that exotic invariants do run out after that.
Really, that, and I mean,
or in any case, that they run out eventually. You would need more and more new ideas, and it's not thought to go up to infinity. Now, geometric topology itself runs out of creativity in dimension 5. Dimensions 1, 2, 3, and 4 all behave very differently from each other, and after in dimensions 5 and higher, you get periodicities and the the derivations are all more or less the same after that.
That was a fun answer. I don't think it was an answer to the question, but
no, I mean that actually, when I said why would you expect three manifold invariants, I mean that when you said, you know,
oh, you meant three as opposed to
why not? I mean, why three? I mean,
well, see, well,
no, I mean, I would ask why topology. If you give me a Hopf algebra, I wouldn't know to look in topology. I would look, I don't know, in algebra.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think that it would have anything to do with topology.
Here, hold on.
Did I take a picture? No. Should I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice motivation.
So, like.
Okay.
I guess so.
Is
you
ask
a naive question
done,
about
I'm done.
Like, things like n categories, right? I mean.
Well, there's skepticism about. I mean, there's a feeling that N categories are oversold, that they certainly can be useful for some purposes, but they're not expected to be exciting in topology in general.
Oh, okay. I
I'm not a great fan of N categories.
Well, like these disk-like N categories that, you know, Scott and Kevin do. Like these are, you know, you're drawing these anyway.
Well, let me
get it open up.
So why dimension 3?
Okay. Right, you've answered, or
I'll
is
just
it another the, answer?
No,
or?
It's the same answer, but I want to draw a picture and then you can take
okay.
It. Sides of two handle cyclically ordered the sides of the K handle are cyclically ordered only when get is a kind of doubly non-commutative. So there's the famous trick of non-commutative cohomology with coefficients in a non-abelian group. And this is something written in H over 1. So this is a doubly non-commutative version where you have to be in three dimensions. So that was part of why I celebrated. But as I was saying, I celebrated a little bit too much.
I appreciate the answer.
Yeah.
Picture? Done. So we have a map from three manifolds to Hopf diagrams and modulo diagrammatic relations.
Right.
Now the inverse.
Okay, if that's what you wanted, yeah, sure.
Oh, I'm proposing that that would be the next subject. You're welcome
it's
to overrule me.
It's a next subject, it's fine.
Okay. Or you're welcome to overrule me, anybody's. Okay.
And I want to hear more of your take on them categories and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no. So, what actually happened was that. The N category type formalism works well in three dimensions, and then you can write it down in higher dimensions, but there aren't any convincing examples, and the actual definitions of invariance require new ideas that are not present in the N category formalism. And then after that, there aren't constructions, and there aren't there aren't constructions after that, and there's no compelling reason that there should be exciting construction. Maybe so. Yeah.
So a dearth of examples, is this this is one...
It's one reason why people are a little skeptical. But you can have an example that's interesting as homological algebra or as category theory without necessarily being interesting as... Yeah, examples can be interesting as category theory without necessarily being interesting as topology or as quantum algebra. So the lesson is that arrows can be reversed on a graph. And this helps us.
Is that after renormalization?
Yeah.
Circle on the S set.
Okay, up to fine. Okay.
Sorry.
Think of something that looks somehow interesting. Okay. Maybe it'll make it. Well, this is good enough. It sort of gives you the idea. Okay. Then. No, I'm sorry. It's not good enough. I'm going to make a better diagram. Circle inverse, I guess. then you put, you just put the arrow backwards and you put it in the interpolation between. Oops. So, in other words, I wanted to be more specific. It can be reversed from M pointing to delta to M S delta to with a power, some power x in between, to actually the opposite power. So, what's significant here is that, okay, first of all, if you have factors at the antipode, you can just view it as a coloring of the edge, or two types of edges, twisted and untwisted. Okay? And then you, if you have a general Hopf word, then you have two things to complain about. One thing to complain about, there are two things to complain about it if your concern is that it doesn't look like the type of Hopf word made before. One thing to complain about is that some of the arrows between M's and deltas might go the wrong way. But you can reverse them. Okay. Using this relation. So that complaint disappears. The other thing, the other thing to complain about is that an arrow might go between two M's with some copies, some power of X.
Oh, but that's associativity, that's not.
Then can be merged away. Okay.
Do these S edges have any reason, like when you put ribbon in quotes, is that at the beginning, does that?
I didn't think about that. No, but I think it's not the same thing. Okay. It's related. Maybe it is the same thing. I'm not sure. Maybe, actually. But it doesn't. But it, because it's fun. Still, it's suspect because it's ribbon without having crossings, without having break group type crossing. So these can be merged away. Now, actually, one thing you have to be careful about in this case is that you can only merge these if the power of S in the middle is zero. But actually, you can evacuate S from any one edge because S is an algebra anti-homomorphism. Just at the you can move the S over here just at the expense of reversing. Okay. Now, you couldn't do that if S was stuck in the middle, if this M pointed to itself and you had an S in between. But there's a similar fix for that as well. For one thing, you can stick in more of these in between. That's another solution. So, with these moves, any diagram. Tricks you need from that are reversing arrows and merging stuff and moving copies of the antipode around and things like that.
So please agree or argue. That's the wrong construction. So, let me explain, okay? So, basically you're saying, it's wrong in the sense that it's happening in the world of diagrams. So, given given a suitable diagram, meaning one in which all the arrows go from M's to deltas, from deltas to M's, and the M's make nice loops and the deltas make nice loops, meaning given a diagram which is obviously in the image of the map from manifolds to
right.
to diagrams, you just reverse that map. And if you have another diagram, you use the relations to bring it to that form.
Yes.
The right construction would be do something local for each ingredient. So go directly from diagrams, whether they're good or bad,
but you can read,
to manifolds.
Yeah, but you can read what this, you can read these instructions in exactly that way.
So then what's wrong is not the content, but the presentation.
You could argue that.
I'm arguing.
All right. This was a canonical rewrite. And you could just combine the two steps if you want to.
So I want to.
All right.
No, but what I mean by I want to is, you know, I wish I had the nice kind of dictionary pictures. You see this, you do that. You see this, you do that. In
all right, I will describe it that way. The point is the following. It looks troublesome that some of the arrows point the wrong way.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about it.
Sir, and
just sort of go ahead and be sloppy about the way the arrows point. Make the same diagram you would have made.
Yeah.
And you're not far wrong. The only thing that you really have to worry about is the power of S, and then you flip it to the other power of S.
Okay, so. You give me a diagram. What should I take a picture before we continue?
I guess so.
So now this is the converse direction.
Right.
So you give me a diagram. What do I do? I mean, I search for M loops, I search for delta loops, I don't search for them because they are. I mean,
well,
what do I do somehow? Somehow the best was if I didn't need to do anything, but the topology would do it for me. Namely, I mean.
So you make a two handle for every connected component of the M's, roughly speaking. And then you make a one handle for every connected. Well, I would say it this way, actually. You make a two handle for every M, make a one handle for every delta.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so another. Given a diagram, so alternate description. Given a diagram, make one handle for each delta. Make a two handle. Plumb them together each arrow or S. Okay. The plumbing.
So the pictures are missing. The words are fine.
The plumbing construction. This is the boundary of the handle.
So when you say a one handle, you mean like a prism, like before, or you know a?
That's right. Except that every handle is actually a topological ball, but I'm We're picturing the 1 and 2 handles both as disk cross an interval,
uh-huh.
and making it a thin interval.
Yeah.
Okay. This was a 1 handle, 2 handle, or probably a 1 handle.
No, but you also have to say what to do for the arrows between.
I will get to those caveats.
No, between M and M.
I will get
okay.
to you.
M and M is a kind of a candy, but Delta and Delta isn't.
Okay. What if the arrow goes the wrong way? Direction the arrow was supposed to go. It was supposed to go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah, then you do a zigzag.
No, there's something better to say, which is that just reverse it. Diagram, you just put in the same thing, you just glue the handles together as if it was this instead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And two, what if? Goes to M, delta, goes to delta. And you put in the opposite handle.
Sorry, you what?
You put in the opposite handle type in between. So
you
like,
put in the opposite handle type.
Right, so if M connects to M, then we have two handles that we're not allowed to plumb them together.
Ah.
So instead you put in an opposite type of handle in between.
A new one.
Right.
A single individual new one.
Right. It's essentially a connector. It's a connector. You have two analogy. You have two cables with male connectors at both ends. What are you supposed to do? Well, you put in the female connector in between.
Now,
I'm thinking the wrong way, but imagine the two handles is like coins, so the boundary is like the side, and then the one handle is just the like a piece of like wire or something.
It's easier if you imagine both the one and two handles as coins.
Okay.
So. In the plumbing construction, imagine the coins are not completely thin, but you make the coins perpendicular so that they intersect in a square.
Okay. I guess I've been misinterpreting the documents of that would explain the confusion.
Oh, your previous video just finished processing. Now this one is still running, but the previous one is fully processed.
Fine.
Sorry, I just noticed some motion on the screen.
So this is the same answer in the form that you wanted it.
Indeed.
Okay. But the answer didn't change.
Right. You could probably still make it a tiny bit better. So every M, geez, do I have cash? So, you know, basically every M will be a pair of coins, like that. Right, because the M's, each one has
two
inputs.
That's fine. Yes, you can do that.
So every M would be a pair of coins like that. So so let's declare that toonies are red and dimes.
Yes, that's
are
right.
Blue.
Yeah, you could do it that way as well.
Anyway, you have a red big, blue small connected this way. That's for the. For the M's, for the deltas, you have
the same
thing but with opposite colors.
Right.
And they just glue. You just glue them red to blue.
Well, but there's two ways. There's two ways to.
Right. You glue them red to blue, and either. Right, either kind of, well, either this way or that way at each point.
Yeah, that's right.
And then at the end you get this red, blue. Well, you get the surface, first of all. The surface is the union of all the...
rims.
The rims, right.
Plumb together.
Right. And then, it's a double-sided surface because one side is red, the other is blue. And you, with some discs glued in, and then you just glue the rest, or stabilize. I mean, you... Okay.
Yeah, so then, okay.
I see.
Have to.
Well, you almost lost your credentials.
Oh, well.
It's fine. Don't touch that. It's actually, if you touch it, it will... It will move. I mean, it's not stable.
Okay. Yeah, so the plumb rims...
You were actually here when I put it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. One time we were meeting and sort of... I had...
Okay.
Was sort of...
incomplete. So, attach any surfaces not necessarily discs. Surface, there are these holes still missing, and then you could put in discs, but you can also put in an extra tube in between, or you can put in an extra thing like that, and anything like that, any completion of that type has to be allowed. That's important. So the map is not unique, although there is a minimal one, but in fact it's not as important as you'd think. Optionally attach calls. to horizontal two spheres.
Yeah, so now it is the answer I wanted.
Three and a whole. Well, there were some choices.
Yeah, no, no. Choices are fine, but I just wanted them to happen at the topology side.
Horizontal boundary.
But by the way, sorry, just a complete aside, okay? So, you know, in Vasiliev invariants, okay, so n singular knots correspond to core diagrams, except core diagrams are equivalent to trivalent graphs modulo, well, to trivalent graphs. And then you can ask, so what is, therefore there should be a map from trivalent graphs to n singular knots. Okay? And you can ask, so how do you define this map? And the way I define this map is what I call the wrong way relative to this picture, meaning you first move, get rid of all the vertices using STU relations, and only then, and then use the obvious map. Okay? But well, if you try to do it directly topologically, you actually do get something interesting, and this is this whole theory of claspers, or I mean.
Right, but you see, you have plus signs to worry about. You have addition. You have linear combinations to worry about.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that this whole theory has no plus sign in it.
Right. No. It's a different story.
It's
a different story.
Right. So then, the move, the topology changing, moves three manifolds come from these ambiguities.
Okay, and what are they on the topology side?
Sphere.
So how far are three man? So Perelman. So this is essential. This is almost nothing.
Well, it's not almost nothing, but it's a part of three manifold topology that doesn't need Perelman. It's all J. So the essential point is that these are all Jacobshan and Johansson type. So Jacob Shalen and Johansson have a theory of defining a part of a three manifold where things are sort of ciphered, fibered in parallel. It's a generalization of Miller's unique factorization theorem for cutting along two spheres. They start with that, but so one simplification theorem for three manifolds is unique factorization. You replace connected sums by disjoint sums, and that's simpler. By disjoint unions, and that's simpler. Jacob Shalen and Johansson's point is that Miller stops too early, that you can actually simplify some more in the same vein. And they have a little bit more than this, because they also, I think, allow tori. Yeah, they do allow tori. and I'm not using incompressible torii. But a piece of the Jacob Shaler your head's business is these simplifications. So the reason that I get something canonical if you apply these simplifications as much as possible is just from the same sort of result.
I'm losing one word. You said disc and sphere and vertical annulus. Okay.
Right. Actually, it all just looks like vertical annuli, because if you compress the surface, if you say you don't need this tube, then you're cutting along the vertical annulus. The other cases, the spheres and the discs, are actually special cases of the vertical annulus. It's just that the vertical annulus might be something that you can complete to a disc or to a sphere.
Okay, so several things. First of all, I would be delighted to continue, but you said you wanted to talk to Eliash Berget.
Well, it's going to be right before his talk.
Might be too late.
Is there tea?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little bit late. I could try to catch him after.
Okay, the other thing is, what do we do tomorrow? Or should we continue now? Or
well, we could...
How is the state of energy for everybody?
We could look for tea. Do you think there could be tea? You could look for tea and
take a break
and go back.
You could make tea. That there's tea at Fields, but I don't know if 350 at this point.
Well, that's all the way over there.
Yeah.
Or is Fields...
Fields is right nearby, but...
I think it's too late for it.
Yeah.
Also, I think...
I have some... Oh, great.
let me stop the video.
Check your phone now.